Well, we should have a start up here in a minute. So hang on. Not quite sure what our video has not loaded
yet. We are starting. So stay tuned.
And hello, and peace to you in the name of our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ. It is May the 14th. Believe it or not, it is our second show in the month of May, and May is about to go goodbye. And with us tonight, as usual, our Christy Johnson, the best producer, the co-host, the one and only one. Forget about Paul. Hello, Christy.
Don't forget about Paul, okay? He's been a lifesaver for me. It's good to see you, Paul.
Yeah, if it is not for Paul, you will not have the show by now. He's Hello, brother Paul. How are you?
Pretty good. Enjoying nice weather for the first time in New York State in a long time.
Hopefully you can have the 80s and the 90s from now on. You like it 90s or you like it just in the 80s?
We get a lot of humidity up here, so I'm happy 70s. I'm by the lake, so it's usually cooler here, so I can't complain. When it gets to that humidity, I put my air conditioner back in.
imagine. I was without air conditioner the last 2 days, and it was 86. 86 inside my house, 84, 85. 86. I could not believe it. It was so hot. And when there's no air moving, and thank God the air conditioner fixed, and now back to 75, 76. I like it around 70s, but I don't like it 86. It was hot. Especially when at the time of the year, you cannot open the windows, have fresh air, because then you get the pollen from the tree, which means you're going to be sick with the allergy. So I cannot have it without air and without air conditioning. And we have the window open, then you're going to be sick. So I like it.
You've become such a sissy since you moved to Missouri.
I have some kind of fever, so I'm along there with
you. I'm kidding you, Salma, because
I'm coming from Egypt, where it's 120 degrees, and we don't have air conditioning there, period. I mean, remember, we have a fan, and boy, when you turn the fan on, you sweat even more because you should have air on your face or anybody. So here I come to America, and I get used to this air condition, and if it drops to 86, I complain to the
That's what I'm talking about.
Give me a break, Christy Johnson. Who do you think you are? anyway, we're glad to have both of you here, and we're glad to have all those who are already with us. And I hope and I pray that as we will be chatting in the next half hour or so about things happening in America and around the world, that you may be able during the next few minutes to invite your friends and all your neighbors and whatever channel, whatever way, shape, or form you can invite other people. We'd like to have the biggest number we can have today. And if you are watching this broadcast later, please share it with others as well, because we don't want it just to be for those who watch it live, but for those who watch it later, to share it with others as well, so we can have the information we share with everybody. We're still talking about lies in the textbooks, and the lie we're covering right now is crusades, and today we're going to launch beginning with crusade number 4. The fourth crusade, and then the children crusade, and whatever other crusade we have, as we have it in our presentation. Now, Paul, what is going on? You share some articles with me, and then Christy starts sharing one article with me, and back and forth between both of you to cover whatever material you want to talk about or what's happening.
The first article I have is on a knife attack on a train in Germany. This is kind of shocking. I say kind of shocking because the way the article has been written, and my understanding is rewritten. Of course, the headline is knife attack on train, no indication of Islamist terror. So what do they say when they arrest someone that is of Islam? What is the first thing they say about them?
It's not Islam.
No, they say they're mentally...
Oh, they're excuses.
They're poor.
Mentally ill.
Uneducated or misunderstood.
Yeah. Yeah. So the indication that this has to do with a follower of Islam is the first thing they say. It says five people were injured in the knife attack on the train to Aachen on Friday. the perpetrator is considered mentally ill. And
sure,
the investigators no longer see an Islamic background.
No, not at all.
How do you not? It was there, and then it disappeared?
No longer see it because they hid it.
I think it's catchy. I mean, I guess Islam is now an illness.
It is an illness. You know what? If you investigate it with a sincere heart, to be a Muslim, you are mentally ill. To practice the teaching of Islam, for sure you are mentally ill. I mean, who's going to get a knife and stab people and kill people in the name of some religion and he shouts Allahu Akbar? That must be sick, mentally sick. But the problem is not who did it. The problem is why he did it. It's because Allah ordered him to do it. So for Muslims to practice Islam, they're mentally ill, and that's how Islam will continue to take over the West. I can't help it but to say that. Have we read the verses of the Quran, Quran 47, verse 4, where Allah says, when he meets those who became infidels, strike them next? Not with a gun, it was a knife. And so you have made a great cloth among them with a sword. So when Muslims practice a simple verse, as it is, Quran 47, 4, now we have to say they're mentally ill, or we have a problem with Islam. So I'd rather, Muslim would rather say that these are mentally ill than to say they're Muslim believers. And in my heart, in my opinion, they're the same. Mentally ill Muslim believers, that they're one of the same.
How about
Here it is. Here's the, later on in the article, you get almost all the way to the end. It says, after the attack, several passengers managed to overpower the Iraqi-born man on the train. A federal police officer who happened to be a civilian then arrested him. There were about 270 passengers on the train. The train traffic was temporarily stopped. Okay.
Iraqi, and he's a Muslim, but he's mentally ill. I got it. Now, you know, here's the deal. We should ask those who say the excuse is a mental illness. Was Muhammad mentally ill? Was early companion of Muhammad mentally ill? Was Muslim who practiced the Quran in the last 1400 years mentally ill? If they're all mentally ill, then I understand it's mental illness. I understand. Yeah.
But, you know,
anything else about this story, Brother Paul?
Go ahead, Christy.
No, I was just going to say, when we had this other incident that happened near you, Paul, in Buffalo,
yeah.
There isn't a chance they'll say that man is mentally ill. They'll say he's a white supremacist, and he's typical of all
the big problem I have with the article, that now that you're saying that. The article that I saw, it's on Microsoft News, and I guess it was in the Washington Post, but then, you know, that's a rag, and I wouldn't trust anything written in the Washington Post to be actually truthful. But it says 10 people were killed during a mass shooting Saturday afternoon at a Buffalo grocery store in what law enforcement officials describe as a racially motivated hate crime. Buffalo Police Commissioner Joseph Ramaglia told reporters that a heavily armed 18-year-old white man, that's a child, I'm sorry, 18 years old, you can't really, still a child, entered the store in a predominantly black neighborhood and shot 13 people. 11 of them were black. Why? He's in a predominantly black neighborhood. Does that make him a racist? No. But the problem I have with this is just something Christy had just talked about. So he's in tactical gear. He's using a camera to live stream the shooting. And then there, what is it? Let me see. They're saying, okay. They were saying that there was an indication that he had some racist material on him. Okay, that is, I can't think of a racist shooting where they carried such material on them. Something is not right in Denver. Wow,
maybe he's doing it in the name of the white.
Well, the only thing that, Paul, that they could have said, And this happens, there are people like this, is maybe he had some tattoos that would indicate he's part of some sort of racist group.
Here's the question, Chris. Why did it not say a mentally ill white man?
That's the whole point. If this person did this, they will never say they were mentally ill, you know? That's the problem, and we always see this happen with Muslims. They'll go to their families and they'll say, oh, they were such a good person, but something happened. Now they're mentally ill. We get the
testimony. But Kristen, we got to connect this back. What did we just talk about last week with Mayorkas?
Yeah, he did not have a case he could cite of a racist, white supremacist terror attack that he had investigated. Isn't it convenient that an 18-year-old has now provided him with a case that he can talk about? I just don't think these things are coincidences. And I'm going to tell you that there was a case years back similarly went through my mind. You never know, because there is something that can be done to people, especially if they have been using drugs. They can be given suggestions or medication or all kinds of things that can cause them to literally be mentally ill and carry out an attack that they may not even know. And there were several cases you saw and I've talked about years ago where you can't figure out, why did this person do this? You know?
Well, because he's using some drugs, drinking.
Yes, but it can also be forced on a person. There's cases where, I'm sorry, I don't want to sound crazy, but you look it up, the FBI, CIA has done things to people, especially young people who might be in a vulnerable position. And I know several people who have claimed that they were forced into acts that they did not want to participate in, and they used brainwashing techniques on them. I mean, I'm sorry, but I know people who've had this experience. So I always have suspicions when you see this young person, for who knows what reason, coming out and committing a crime that really helps our government either try to stop the Second Amendment. They'll be screaming about that next, too.
Well, it gets better because we're in New York State. You can't – I don't think he'd be able to purchase a gun until he's 21.
But here's the deal. They're going to tell you, he got the gun from another state which are not liberal, therefore we need to ban the gun. As if it is a gun,
the gun that did it.
Not a prison problem, it's a gun problem.
Yeah, they're going to find out that someone – he either stole the gun or that he took it from his family, and you know that's what they're going to find.
And wait, I'm not going to expect this is going to happen. But imagine with me, if there was something about his computer, as I said earlier, or a picture of Mr. Trump, or an article about Mr. Trump, or something to do with Mr. Trump, and for sure we know why he did it. It is Trump. It's amazing.
Yeah.
When Allah and Muhammad tell the Muslim to kill, as we see that case in Germany, it has nothing to do with Islam. It's mental illness. And some guy mentally ill do the shooting. For sure we know it is racism. It's like, they know it. And they made time to Trump. They made time to this radio, this TV broadcast. He must listen to Usama a few years ago somehow. And remember, Usama said something about something to you. I mean, I'm just being exaggerating here. Being ridiculous. But they'll find some excuse of why this man committed the crime in the name of white supremacy. Remember, Christy, we have a case, a guy listened to an imam from Australia, and that Muslim imam in Australia, so they said that actually there are the two boys, the two brothers in the marathon.
Boston marathon shooting.
So they found that the older brother influenced the younger brother because the older is dead. So now they can make it. Yeah, he influenced his little brother. Why not the opposite? Maybe the little brother influenced the oldest one who's dead, but that's okay. But the boss was influenced by a Muslim imam from Australia, if I remember, his name is Faisal.
Yes.
And then they stopped there, Paul. They didn't go next.
Okay, let's talk about the guy who ran the mosque that they were in. The guy who originally started that mosque that they went to was arrested for terrorism. And this is the guy who used to smooth with Bush. And
he influenced him. But good. All I want our FBI to go one more step. All I need is just one more step. What was the message and the teaching and the verses and the statements that Imam was quoting? He was quoting Allah. He was quoting Muhammad. But we'll not go to that one more step. We're going to stop it one more step before the American people learn the truth. It is Islam. We're we're not going to do that, and so on. Now they're going to, they're both, they're using both sides to make up their status, to make up their thought, to make up their ideology. Muslim, I'm not saying with Islam, white, it must be a supremacist. White supremacist. Okay. Next story, Paul.
So this one comes, I'm going to post this link in the chat room, in the YouTube room, because it's kind of shocking to read, and I think people want to see it for themselves, because I saw this night. I'm going to call a friend and actually ask him to maybe comment on it later, but the title of this article is Vile Terrorists, this is from the UK, set up Sharia courts in British jails and flog prisoners who disobey. HMP Belmarsh and HMP Whitmore are two of Britain's most notorious lockups, housing many notorious terrorists and criminals, such as a member of Parliament Sir David Ames, murder of Ali Harbi Ali. It's by Adam Caller. So the article says, two of London's most notorious prisons allegedly have Sharia courts set up by inmates inside. According to the anti-terrorist specialist Sir Jonathan Hall, lags at Belmarsh and Whitmore prisons and possibly others have been taken over by certain charismatic self-styled emirs. He made these comments in his review of how terrorism is being dealt with inside of prisons. Sounds like they had a lot more freedom than in prison than they probably did outside.
This world. Mm-hmm.
Sir Jonathan also claimed that the prison staff are unable to do their job properly because they're worried about making false assumptions based on a lack of cultural familiarity with Islam or Muslims.
Political correctness, destruction of the West.
And if any fellow prisoners are found to be making what the Sharia court judges deem to be comments which fall foul of their rules, there are enforcers on hand to flog them and make them do menial tasks such as cleaning ceilings. They are also banned from using the showers and kitchens unless they stick to a halal diet.
Oh, man.
That is funny.
So they're going to smell better. They're going to stink. Halal diet. So we got three verses in the Quran where Allah ordered or Allah gives the command to the Muslim believer not to eat some of these creatures died by itself or was hit by another animal or pig's meat. But in the same three verses, Allah gives the exception. If you are compelled, that is the only food you can eat, then you can eat it under two conditions. You don't like it and don't go for a second. Okay? We just tell the Muslims or those who complain about the diet, if not halal or forbidden, because if that is the only food is available, and according to the word of Allah in the Quran, eat it and don't enjoy it.
So this is one of the kickers. I'm just going to read. It says, Deputy Prime Minister Dominic Raab said that religious and cultural sensitives must not be allowed to deter us from clamping down and nipping in the bud the early precursor, signs of radicalization. He told LBC's Nick Ferrari that can be things like the step from eating halal, which of course we want to respect, to requiring others in the wings or kitchens to follow Sharia rules. Quote, I don't want any racism or anti-Islam behavior inside prisons, but our prison officers do the most incredible job.
I don't know if you remember that story, Chris, I shared with you a few years ago about a lady, she was in charge of the kitchen in a prison in Oregon. And when I met with her, she was in her 80s. Right now, she's most likely in the 90s. But she said to me, I was speaking about halal food and haram food, and she came up to the meeting. As a matter of fact, I record the whole thing. So it's available on video, but I never produced it to put in a show like that. And she said, Brother Usama, these three Muslim men came by my office. Required a visit, so I said yes. And they said they have some special diet because she said some people get sick if you eat onions or garlic or some salt or something for health reasons. So she said, what is the problem with the food? She said, we need halal food. She said, oh, halal. You're a Muslim. She said, yes. She said, well, and you practice Sharia. She said, yes. She said, would you mind to also practice the cutting of the hands? There were three thieves. They already committed that. Would you mind if we practice practice the rest of Sharia like the cutting of your head, your hand for stealing, cutting off your head for stealing. She said, Usama, they left my office, never came back.
Okay, that was smart of her.
Yeah, she knows what she's talking about. And I could not believe it. A lady in the 80s knows something about Sharia, the cutting in the hand and Sharia halal food. And I wish that the rest of the Americans can learn something from that lady.
Yeah.
Have they learned from older lady like that by just simply reading something about halal food and the rest of Sharia in Islam? We will never have a problem with Muslims eating whatever we serve them in our businesses. Anyway. Next story, Christy. You have another story, Christy.
Yes, I do. I wanted to bring this up because there's a lot going on now with the news story about the Supreme Court very probably getting ready to overturn Roe v. Wade. And, you know, there's tons of protests. There's tons of people wailing and crying about how this is going to destroy women's lives. I've dealt with many individuals having conversations with them. Roe v. Wade only, if it's overturned, will end the federal prevention of states setting their own laws. But the most...
That's all it will do. They won't do anything else.
Right. It's not going to stop women from having abortions, but this article just, and again, I just refer people, go to Worthy Christian News. You're going to find lots of different sources that have been well sourced and cited. This article there appears for May the 12th. The Satanic Temple says it will help women get abortions if Roe v. Wade is overturned. So I learned about the Satanic Temple and rituals involving abortion that they perform. This is something people don't want to believe, but actually when they were talking about the potential for Roe v. Wade to be overturned, the Satanic Temple came out and said, you can't do that because it's part of our religion to perform abortion. So they're right out there admitting it now. So here's the rest of this article. Following the leaked draft U.S. Supreme Court's opinion in favor of overturning Roe v. Wade and revoking federally legalized abortion, the Satanic Temple announced it is taking steps that will help women to undergo, quote, the satanic abortion ritual, church leaders report. That's the Church of Satan, by the way. In a May 5th Twitter statement, the Satanic Temple said the Roe v. Wade will likely be overturned is extremely distressing. The Satanic Temple has nevertheless positioned itself to protect religious abortion access for our members.
They're making abortion as a worship.
Yeah, it is. But, I mean, this is very serious, literally. So I'm going to finish reading the article. It says, while it is not yet clear what steps the Satanic Temple will take, generally, if Roe versus Wade is ultimately overturned, the organization has already filed suit against Texas, arguing that the state's new heartbeat law prohibiting abortion after 6 weeks is unconstitutional. Texas got around Roe v. Wade by putting enforcement of the law into the hands of civilian whistleblowers who can sue anyone helping a woman get an abortion for up to $10,000. The Satanic Temple stands ready to assist any member that shares its deeply held religious conviction regarding the right to reproductive freedom, the Satanic Temple said in a website statement about the law. Now, here's what it says. Accordingly, we encourage any member who resides in Texas and wishes to undergo the Satanic abortion ritual, within the first 24 weeks of pregnancy, they put that in there to protect themselves, to contact the Satanic Temple so we may help them fight this law directly. This is so disgusting to me, because when I attended a conference to learn about what it means to have a satanic ritual abortion, it is literally the sacrifice of babies, the shedding of their blood. They are literally offered as a sacrifice to Satan. Let me tell you, whatever you might have heard that satanic worship isn't real, they are coming out now themselves and saying that abortion is part of their religion, and it's a part of their religious rituals.
Yeah, so let me ask a question, Christy. If a satanic temple opened in a city, say Mississippi, where they don't allow the abortion, will they be able to make abortion part of the worship, and people can join the satanic temple and offer their children as a sacrifice for Satan?
What I understand that has been done, and abortion has been allowed in Mississippi, is they offer to do satanic worship in abortion clinics. That has been done. That's been testified to by a number of witnesses.
If now Mississippi said no more abortion in our state, for, unless they have the special cases, in the case of rapes or in the whatever time of the limit. Now, if those who worship Satan open a temple in Mississippi, can people join them in the temple and offer the children as sacrifice as portion of the worship of Satan?
That is the huge question that they are trying to raise. They're saying, well, abortion, the sacrifice of babies, is part of our worship. And let's just face it, this goes back to biblical times. Sacrifices to Baal, Moloch, evil is still with us, and satanic worship wants to do the same thing. It's disgusting, but it's real. And people don't want to believe it's real, but it has taken place. And they want to say, yes, they have the right to continue this on religious freedom grounds.
Well,
God help America.
What else is coming to America? We're going to wait and see what else is coming to America, because I believe we're going to get in a deep, we're going to put the fist in God's face and say, here we are, and we're going to do whatever we want, and you have nothing to do to stop us, and you cannot do anything to stop us. And
you know,
it's sick.
People didn't believe this when, after I attended this conference on satanic ritual abuse, and we were told by a number of prosecutors, a number of people who were specifically involved in cases where this had happened and babies were being sacrificed in satanic rituals. People did not want to believe it. They wouldn't believe it. And I'm just saying, if you didn't believe it before, believe it now. Because they are standing up to tell you it's part of their rituals. And they have a right to do it. And they're ready to sue over this stuff. Come on, people. It's real.
Well, I did not see Sister Ilhan Omar upset about the protest for our Supreme Justice, and she was speaking for them, and she has this thing that they have the right to protest. And I wonder that she knows that the Quran or Islam or Sharia in simple words does not permit abortion after 120 days. Does she know that? This is the longest day you can have an abortion is 120 days, which is obviously 4 months. After 4 months in Islam, you kill a baby, Muslims kill you.
How does Ilhan Omar like
if we say, okay, Sister Ilhan, we're going to allow Sharia to be practiced in America concerning abortion. All the women who after 120 days will kill the baby, we're going to kill them to practice the rest of Sharia. I wonder if anybody can have the right to ask for the push.
Okay, but I missed who you were talking about. What person were you saying? Do they know? Who are you referring to? I don't know who you were speaking of when you said this. Ilhan Omar.
I
don't know.
No problem for the protest. She supports the protest because she believes that women have a right to abortion.
Well, you bring up a very good point, Usama. And of course, as everything goes, there is all kinds of hypocrisy that can take place in Islam, especially under Tikeo, right?
So obviously, my point here is it's okay for Ilhan Omar or for Muslims in America to have abortion after all. We only killed 60 million. Can you imagine for the next 50 years, we're going to kill another 100 million? That's less Americans. And I guarantee you, Christy Johnson, I promise you, you will never see a Muslim lady in a hijab in a abortion clinic or in a satanic temple to offer her baby as a sacrifice worship state. That is not what Muslims would do. I guarantee you plenty of Baptists and Catholic and Presbyterian and Lutheran on, all those who claim to be a Christian. They will go and have abortion because that's reality. That's why the Democrats, Catholic and others, vote for the Democrats to continue to be in power, to allow abortion and such things. Have we voted right for the last 40 years? We would not have the problem we have today about abortion and the justice of all this city. But anyway,
yeah.
It's just my simple
opinion. Last thing I want us to comment on, the last thing for me, Paul, I don't know if you may have some other comments. I'm very concerned that people don't understand Dr. Oz is a Muslim. He says that his allegiance is to Turkey. He served in the Turkish military. And I am very upset that Trump was convinced to endorse him. And I'm praying that there will be people come out for Kathy Barnett and support her. She is a true conservative, America First person. She has been interviewed. She's very intelligent, very knowledgeable. But Usama, tell them why you're concerned.
It's very simple. Because even if Dr. Oz does not do any wicked, evil things like what Obama did when he went to the White House, he will paint Islam with a beautiful picture, which means when next time when you have four or five other Muslim senators running for office, nobody will have any objection because, hey, we got Dr. Oz, and he was good for 4 years or 6 years, whatever years. Or also this will actually empower more Muslims to run for office.
Yes.
They're not here to love our freedom. They're here to end our freedom. I don't know how can I say that in simple words for our audience and for those who watch this later to figure out. Muslims are not here because they love our freedom, because Islam does not mix with freedom. Okay? Islam means submission or to submit or to surrender. That's Islam. So, Dr. Ahmed is not
here. You got a medical professional that's being endorsed, that's a follower of Islam. Is that they will endorse FGM.
You know,
I don't know what's going to happen tomorrow. I just don't want the door to open for Muslims to be in the Republican Party, period. I got a question from Sipatani a few days ago. I haven't even answered. She wanted to know. There's a Muslim lady running in Minnesota against Ilhan Omar. And she's running as a Republican. And she wanted to know what question we ask her if we have the opportunity. And God, my witness, until now, I cannot come up with a question. Because, what is this? Are you a Muslim? Yeah, you believe in the Quran? No, we don't want you in our party. So it is Muslims are going to use the right side and the left side to take over America. We cannot allow them to do that, period.
Well, I'm going to...
get with them in love, fall in love with a Democrat, run as a Democrat, or something else, but I don't want them to run as a Republican. Even if these Muslims are moderate, as some claim, there is no moderate Muslim because there is no moderate Islam. The problem is not in the Muslim people. The problem is the ideology of Allah and the teaching of Muhammad. That's where the problem is. I don't want any Muslim to run as a Republican Party, period. I have a Democrat who hates this country to have a Muslim who loves the Republican.
There is a mega candidate, a conservative Christian black man. His name is Royce White. He is also running against Ilhan Omar, and he is running for the nomination. I would suggest people vote for him He is not a Muslim, and he is a Christian.
Like, which one do you like, cocaine or heroin? Which one is good for you, cocaine or heroin? Neither one.
Well, I'm talking about this man is...
I know, I'm talking about his, I got it.
Yeah, I think you got to go with the conservative Christian. He is well-spoken. He's very popular. I believe he was in sports
well,
and known by that.
I hate to say that. And Alabama will never lose that seat.
There well, because of cheating.
In the 5th district, the plaintiff Democrat who would give the life.
We have a Crusader General who said, I'm just going to curl this up with my mouse over here. The only moderate Muslim is a dead one. I don't know if you're moderate then, but...
Well, the deal I made the comment before, the only good Muslim is a dead Muslim. And I said, no, that's not true. A dead Muslim is not a good Muslim because a dead Muslim is somebody is burning in hell. How can this be a good Muslim? No, there's no good Baptist.
Only good Muslim is an ex-Muslim who is now a Christian.
Exactly. Like if we get the brother Adam,
we have many of them.
Later, he will tell you that is the only good Muslim, the one who say goodbye to Allah and Muhammad. All right. Well, I have to say something before we get to you, Paul. If you have another article you want to share,
the next one I would share is rather too long. So
let me get this one quickly. The shortage because we're talking about abortion. And we're talking about the Supreme Justice rule coming up. The shortage of baby formula. And I'm shocked now that Democrats found a good reason for abortion. Because if we kill more babies, we have more formula for the other baby who will live. And in the same time, they said, why not mother use the milk, breastfeeding milk, which is available all the time. These people don't have logic. I don't think even half of the American ladies... Or maybe, I don't know what is the number, who breastfeeds the children. They don't. You don't know how to live that way of life. And when I come from the Middle East, unless the mama is really sick, she cannot produce milk. That's the only time my mom will use formula. But 99.9 of the ladies in Egypt breastfeed their babies. Normal. And it's, by the way, it's healthier and better for you, for your children. That's the reality. Now, here in America, we don't do that. And they said, maybe... If these women will afford their baby, then they can go on and work and help the economy. I mean, these people are just stupid.
Well, Usama, this is becoming a real tragedy, and I want to say there are mothers who are working moms, and they maybe have breast milk they're providing to their babies, but they also have to supplement it with baby formula. Also, the diet of a lot of American women is not as healthy as it might be because of fast food and things, and so many of them work. So we got women who have young babies right now who maybe can't produce enough milk. In fact, my friend Roxy said she's aware of someone who's actually having to have her baby provided milk from another mother who has more milk, which is what you call a wet nurse. And that used to be also a common practice because not all women produce enough milk. But the whole problem is this should never happen in America. And, of course, it only facilitates. I'm not going to say the Democrats' plan. I'm going to say Satan's plan. And, you know, the Bible, it has a lot of very interesting things it says in the end times. And there is a scripture that says, woe to them that give suck in the last days. And, you know, I'm just saying they're making it like having a baby is going to be very terrible for you. And that is how... they are playing this.
We're taking the European culture in America, Christy. In the near future, maybe 10 years from now, no mama will be a mama. It's going to be all single ladies and single guys having time, good time, gay and lesbian, and those who are married are not going to have children. I personally know some Christian will not have children. And I ask why. They said because it is a sick world. It's an evil world. Why we want to bring children to this world? Not realizing the sicker the world, the more children we have so we can carry the baton for the next generation, because there's less and less light in that dark world. But But the other thing which I want to mention quickly is that they found out they actually, the Biden people, the Democrats, are shipping this formula milk to the borders. And they have stacks and stacks and stacks there. And they're actually also getting through some programs to some specific people, not for the rest of the country. So I think they have something to do with it. And they know about it since February. And they did nothing about all February, all March, all April. Now we're 15 May. And I guarantee you, this problem of baby formula will not be fixed for weeks, and which maybe we'll be talking about another couple, 3 months here, Brother Paul. Go ahead, sir.
I look at some of this and just like, yeah, there's no reason for us to be having right now. The article, the thing I get concerned about when we're talking about all this, a lot of this, we're talking about a shortage right now of formula, and it's being manufactured because they just sent down tens of thousands of formula down to the southern border for free.
Yeah. I want to see for mothers who are in a panic, you know, and if you have a new baby and you're worried about being able to feed them. Actually, when my mother's preparing milk for babies, there was a way to make formula. It's evaporated milk, water, and Karo syrup. I can't tell you the measurements. But the critical part is you must boil and sanitize the milk in the bottles, and that's why we used to have sterilizers. I actually had to use sterilizers when my son was born. That's that many years ago. But that's what you get for being old. But I can't remember how you make this formula. I just know the ingredients. Carol,
I'd be
willing
to bet,
evaporated milk and water.
The formula, you know, making baby formula.
What now?
I'm people on the bed. You can Google making baby formula.
Well, but it isn't. People have been trying to find out, and that information has been scarce. I've seen women begging, can you tell me how they used to do this? So I know the ingredients, but I don't know the proportion. So,
yeah.
But it should be able to be found out. But the important thing is you have to boil this stuff to sterilize it, because the milk itself, the water that you're using, and the Karo syrup could have contaminants in it.
You have to make sure
it's safe.
We're hoping to bring American woman, wise woman, smart woman, can figure out an answer for that, because if they're going to count on all Biden, well, good luck.
No, that's why I'm saying do your own research. It's it's not hard to get those ingredients, but you need to know.
Here's my question to both of you. Is it only shortage with baby formula, or they're going to be shortage with other foods because they, of Biden people, have been, and Tucker Carlson talked about it for weeks. I heard him a couple, 3 weeks ago, talk about destroying huge amount of birds, like chicken and turkey.
Yes, these are fires. They have been destroying the meatpacking plants. There's been at least 18 fires in these plants.
It's more than that.
But that's at least, but what I'm saying is there's never been this many meatpacking plants, particularly chicken, and these things, like Tyson had one, some of these other factories we're familiar with, these places burnt, so their production is down. The truth is, And I would just tell people, look, watch Frank's speech. You're going to get a lot of news about these kinds of things every day. They follow up on them. This is what is intended to bring about a food shortage. One of the comments from some of the leadership in the administration is going around to experts, the people need to eat bugs. They need to eat bugs, and I can't remember what else. Once I heard bugs, I think I went, what? But literally, in the production of some of the food that they want now to be available for countries where people are starving includes the production of roach eggs, which they say are extremely nutritious. So now they're saying, well, the American people have just had it way too good. They need to learn how to eat bugs. I mean, this is a people that are in Washington, D.C., and I'm sorry, the election of the person that is occupying the office is not legitimate, and we've got to get our country back under control, but it'll never happen without prayer, because honestly, the devil is the author of all of this confusion and all of this destruction. We really need, as Christian people, to be praying, because they'd love to see us reduced to eating bugs, honestly.
Yes. Brother Paul, anything else you want to share, sir?
So there was a big article that's out there that I think is probably the hottest article out there that I saw today was on, it's by Epoch Times. And it's a few days old, but acting National Institute of Health director has admitted in a congressional appearance of the conflict of interest in secret royalty payments to Fauci and several scientists working for the National Institute of Health. We're talking about $350 million in royalty payments to scientists that... A lot of this is related to things like vaccination.
It's sick. I don't know if money means nothing in America. Literally, $40 billion last week to Ukraine, while we cannot even spend any amount of millions to provide food for our children. And they're going to continue to spend, because this is the best way to destroy America economically. Print more money, spend more money. But we don't have that money. The money is there. People think, so what, 40 billion? We're spending money we don't have. And put it under this agenda or that agenda, science or war or whatever reason, it's not going to help America. We're destroying America economically. Remember Christy, let me remind you Christy again. When we started doing our radio broadcast 15, 16 years ago, when we talked about when George W. Bush left his office, that's when we started our radio program. That was $8 or $8.5 trillion. Guys, I'm not talking about 300 years ago. I'm talking about literally 15 years ago, 16 years ago. Okay. So the debt of America, go online, check it out, was 8.6 trillion. And because Mr. George W. Bush wasted $2 trillion in the war in Iraq and Afghanistan. And I called waste because it was waste. I said that war will not fix the problem. We have a spiritual warfare, not physical war with Muslims and Islam. You cannot kill Muslims with bomb, and you're not going to get rid of Islam with weapons of war. This is my opinion. You remember?
Yeah, I do.
Mr. Obama came to power, and he moved it from the $9 trillion. 18 trillion. He doubled it. He literally doubled the debt. The debt was 6 million for years and years. Bush made it 8 plus. Obama moved it from 9 to 18. I'm just giving you the square number. Okay? I'm rounding the number. 19 trillion. Then Mr. Trump came to power and they push him. Here's there. And they make him spend 5 trillion. So now we're 25. Mr. O'Biden came, and now we're 33. And I promise you, by the time O'Biden will leave the White House, if he ever leaves the White House, it will head to the 40 trillion. Forget about 33. For sure we'll spend another 7 or 8 trillion in the next 2 years. And I love numbers. This is my gift. The Lord gave me a gift with numbers. I remember numbers of things I spent, the thing I did 50 years ago. When I was a baby, I was born, and I remember what we spent. And I think people think I'm exaggerating, but I love numbers. Number is my gift. So why, when the Democrats come to the White House, somehow we double and quadruple the debt? Because that is their agenda. Their agenda is to destroy America economically. Soon the U.S. dollar will not be good for anything. Imagine the Venezuela money and how that money was destroyed in 24 years. From the 8th richest country in the world to where it is right now, Venezuela. America will be worse than Venezuela. Just give the Muslims, give the Democrats the chance, give the Democrats a chance to win a few more elections. And America, U.S. dollar will not be good for anything.
You know, Yusame, it's also important to recognize that there have been many questions about what is being done with this money. The Ukrainian government, we already know, was involved in severe corruption with Hunter Biden and Joe Biden. We already know that there's big issues there. So now the question is, what is that money really going for? Is that money even being used in any way to help the military, or is there a back road where this stuff comes back into the pockets of business?
The more I know about the corruption in Ukraine, the more I'm guessing.
It's coming back to the politicians in the United States who are supporting this funding. And I'm just saying, it's disgusting to me more so that so many Republicans have gone along with this when we know there's not a dime that they'll spend to protect our border. What is the matter with the Republican Party?
Without even reading the bill, Christy. They have no idea why they give us the money. And now we talk to this report from Brother Paul. How many millions they're going to be spending to help the science?
They weren't helping science. They were basically paying themselves.
Yes.
$350 million.
That's the whole point.
Companies are paying them.
That's the point. This has become so corrupt. This is all about how you make money by being a public servant. You know, I want you to know, I worked as a social worker. I worked as someone who was helping people with drug addiction, domestic violence, other issues. And you, in that role, you're a public servant. You don't make money. That's why I'm basically really, you know, financially I'm doing fine, but you know, someone can tell you I'm pretty much on the edge. But the point is, that's what you do when you go into public service. We were not even allowed to go and advocate with the state, have our salaries raised, because that was considered inappropriate for people who were in public service. I'm sorry. What are these political people doing? I admire Trump because he did not take a salary, or he donated his salary every year. That seems public service.
They hated him. Yeah.
Public service. What is wrong with these individuals that we send to office nowadays? If they have to spend so much money to run a campaign. If I had the ability to do it, I would make a law where you had a max you could spend. You raise so much money, that's fine, but you can only spend so much on a campaign and limit the expenses that people pay, because they raise all this money, and the only way you can raise it is to appeal not to the average American, but to go to big corporations and the wealthy to get them to support you. This has turned our American elections into nothing but a money-raising scam to put people in office who will pay back in consideration and favors.
You can cut most of that, but you also make it a limited term.
Yes.
A couple times for congressmen or street officers.
Exactly.
Because it was a
limit money, limit terms. Yes.
And I think we should also limit it how much money they get after retirement. Because in today,
it
should be allowed to retire for
2 years. You're set for the rest of your life.
If you put the term limits in, there's no retirement from Congress.
But you see, these are common sense things that you have a public servant and you think, oh, of course, they're going to be doing things for the benefit of their constituents. Oh, I'm sorry. No, they're not. No, they're not. And we got to face that reality. You're the last person they're thinking about. And I'm not talking about every politician, but I'm saying the majority. You, American citizen, mean nothing.
Well, believe it or not, we only have less than an hour to do our study of lies and the textbook. So let's take a quick break. When we come back, we'll look at the fourth crusade. Here we go.
The Straight Way of Grace Ministry is excited to announce the creation of two new convenient materials to help you in your ministry to the Muslim community. Our first booklet is titled, The Straight Way to Eternal Life. How many times have you met a Muslim man or woman, maybe in an airport or on a bus or in your neighborhood, and you felt burdened to share the good news of Jesus Christ, but you didn't know what to say or even where to begin? We have produced a small, convenient tract that will empower you to reach those lost in the deception of Islam. This 24-page mini-booklet will share three facts. First, it seeks to convince Muslims that the Bible has not been corrupted, using just the verses from the Quran. Secondly, it reveals convincing proof that the Quran cannot be the Word of God due to an overwhelming number of errors and contradictions. Finally, it clearly presents the loving truth of the soul-saving gospel of Jesus Christ. Our second new booklet addresses the violent nature of the core teachings of Islam. Muslims continually claim that Islam is a loving and peaceful religion. They also insist that violence is committed by only a few radicals who misunderstood Muhammad's teachings in the Quran. This new booklet titled The Violent Truth About Islam examines dozens of passages from the Quran, the Hadith, and Muslim scholars. This powerful booklet will leave no doubt that Islam's long history of intolerance and bloodshed arises from the very words of Allah and the example of Muhammad's life. To order these new booklets, please visit thestraightway.org for more information. And now, back to our show.
All right, so we're glad to have you. Welcome back in our program for tonight. It is almost 10 o'clock. Well, for 5 minutes, it is May the 14th of the year of our Lord 2022. And tonight we're going to continue with our study, as we said before the break, of the crusade. So we're going to go to our PowerPoint here to share about the fourth crusade. And Brother Paul, if you don't mind, you can read for us the slide here, and you and Chris, whoever would like to read.
I'll do first. Okay.
All right. Here we go. Here we go.
In 1198, Pope Innocent III called a new crusade. The belief that the conquest of Constantinople would help crusading efforts was a mirage. Indeed, the opposite was true, for the unstable Latin Empire siphoned off much of Europe's crusading energy. The legacy of the Fourth Crusade was the deep sense of betrayal the Latins had instilled in their Greek co-religionists with the events of 1204. The schism between the Catholic West and the Orthodox East was complete.
Don't they love to have division among the Christians?
The devil loves it.
The devil loves it. How are we going to destroy America? Let's divide the American people. If we just can divide the American people, trust me, America will be destroyed from within. The First Crusade, when I saw a study about the First Crusade, they may be going to get it right this time. Did they get it right? Then the First Crusade have success, which... anybody would think that logically you have three crusades. The first one, there was some success. Second is a loss. Third is a loss. The fourth is what?
The loss.
Here we go. Go ahead, Brother Paul.
Only one third of the crusade army arrived in Venice in the summer of 1202. The French had contracted with the Venetians for a fleet and provisions that they no longer needed nor could afford. The Venetians were not compensated by the French. And in lieu of payment, the leader of Venice, Doge Enrico Dandolo, proposed that the French assist in capturing the city of Zagreb, now in Croatia, and the French could repay the Venetians in captured booty.
So only one third go to fight, and they run out of money because war costs money. We know that from the history of just our previous year. So to fix the problem, we need to get some spoil. We need to get some gold or silver. We need to get some income. So what are we going to do? Let us sack a Christian country, a Christian city, take the spoil and pay the Venetians. How do you like that, Brother Paul?
It's frustrating. I mean, the idea that they would capture booty. I mean, this was the conquest ethic, and it was somewhat considered normal then, but still seemed so wrong.
It is sick, Brother Paul. When you study the Crusades, you think these people were literally, mentally, psychologically sick. Bunch of lies, a bunch of propaganda. Keep going.
The Crusaders agreed, even though Zadar was a Christian city under the control of the King of Hungary, who had taken the Crusaders' vow, Pope Innocent III was informed of the plan, but his veto was disregarded. In November of 1202, the Crusaders captured Zadar, reluctant to jeopardize the Crusade. Innocent gave conditional absolution to the Crusaders, but not to the Venetians.
And that's where we stop in our last program.
Yeah.
That is what I call the sickness or the stupidity or the foolishness of the Crusaders. The fourth Crusade did not accomplish any good, but only evil. Go ahead, brother.
In 1261, Constantinople was reconquered by Michael the Eighth, Palaeologus, with the aid of Genoa, the traditional rival of Venice. The city would never be the same for the remainder of its Christian history. It would remain poor, dilapidated, and largely abandoned.
Oh, so now we got Constantinople back. By the way, that is the capital of Turkey. That is a Muslim country. So if we say there was any success of that, why would we not have Turkey today? Why would we not have Egypt? Why would we not have Israel to be under the control of the Christian, the Crusaders? Why would it not stop Muslims from taking over Europe, as we see today, are establishing their ultimate great success without any war? They're just marrying the European beautiful, attractive, sexy ladies and producing Muslim baby all over Europe. Europe will be a Muslim country within the next few years.
Yeah. They're definitely raping them.
Oh, the rape is one thing, but I'm talking about the loving jihad, which is jihad love,
yeah.
Which is literally marrying the European and raising Muslim babies.
Yes.
What the Muslims could not do 1,500 years ago in Europe, they're doing it today by having a wonderful relationship with all the beautiful European ladies. Christy, I don't hear any voice.
Well, no, I'm listening, but I do want Paul to maybe be aware that someone is putting the recipe up there for baby formula, and so, you know, we may want to get that for others in just, you know, before the show is over. So,
okay.
Thank them.
You know,
yes.
If you ask the Muslims, they'll give you a quick recipe. Camel milk and
I'm sorry.
Milk.
Camel I just, I,
will your baby so strong, unbelievable.
I want
to. Dr. Muhammad knows the best formula. Okay, go ahead, Christy. Read for us the next slide, Christy.
I will if it had anything on it. I don't see
how about
it.
The title?
The Albigensian Crusade, 13th century. In the mid-12th century, control of Jerusalem and the Holy Land was no longer the goal of the Crusades. Rather, crusading became a special class of war called by the Pope against the enemies of the faith, including heretics. The Crusades continued in the Baltic region against pagans and in Spain against Muslims.
And by the way, that also said Pope has the power to kill anyone who would like to reform the Catholic Church. At the beginning of evil, as they were literally burning the Christian godly people who had access to the Bible to say, hey, these 400 years of darkness in the Catholic Church and all these falsehoods and the false teaching and the false movement, they left the Bible behind, they left Christianity behind, they created their own belief. Then when those people rise up, they say, oh, these are heretics. Yes, I remember when I wrote my paper in my undergrad on John Huss. And John Huss was burned twice because he burned him with wet wood, smoke more than fire, and then the fire stopped, then they have to burn him again. Why? Because he was a heretic. What did John Huss was trying to do to the Catholic Church? He's trying to tell the church, you have left Christianity. Here is what the Bible says.
Well, that wasn't enough still. Let's be honest. They had to dig up his bones and then do worse.
I mean, It was so savage what the Catholic Pope and the Catholic priest under the Pope did to the Christians who were trying to bring the Catholic back to the Bible, to reform the church. I'm not saying reform Christianity, because you cannot reform religion. You cannot reform Islam, you cannot reform Christianity, you cannot reform anything, okay? When it's a book, you cannot reform, unless they have the opportunity. Now, what these men, hundreds, thousands of men, they were trying to bring the church back to the Bible, back to the Christian faith, which used to be, and they were destroyed because they were called heretics. So what is going on with the Crusades? Remember, we started the Crusades, guys, because of what? Because the Christian could not go and visit the Holy Land, because the men were killed and the women were molested. They were raping our Christian daughters, our Christian wives. Who are the Muslims? Who? The one who lived in Israel, the one who lived in Jerusalem, in the holy site. That is what started the Crusade. And also, they were hoping to stop the Muslims to invade the rest of Europe. But now, in this Crusade, actually, we're not worried about Israel anymore. And we're going to fight the Muslims in Spain. Any comments, guys?
No, thank you. That's good.
Seems like human nature and war haven't changed much.
Nope.
Okay. At the same time, in the heart of Europe, a more serious threat faced Christendom, heresy. In the medieval world, heresy did not represent benign religious diversity, but a cancerous threat to the salvation of souls. It was held to be even more dangerous than the faraway Muslims because it harmed the body of Christ from within.
Of course, when you have chaos, when the leaders of the church are not following the scripture, when it gets dark, Chris, remember I said this many times, when you turn the light off, roaches. That's reality. You'll never go in a kitchen with the light bright and see roaches all over the place. No, turn the light off and wait for 5 minutes. Turn the light on. Woo! Roaches everywhere. On the soap, on the floor, behind the fridge, they're flying in the windows of the kitchen area. So here we go. Darkness in the church causes a lot of heresy to grow, and that is destroying the church from within Europe. Until we get to the Reformation, shall we see? In the 15th century, late 14th and early 15th century. Okay.
Next. Main heresy in Europe was Catharism, also known as Albigensianism for the Albi, a city in southern France where it flourished. A dualist belief, contrary to the Christian faith. The Albigensian Crusade was popular in northern France because it gave warriors an opportunity to win crusade indulgence without traveling far from home or serving more than 3 days.
Why have to go to fight the Muslims in Egypt or in Syria or in any of the Christian countries? They just killed the people who started this heresy, the Albigensianism, whatever you call it, this word, in France. And it's just 40 days trip, and you're going to get blessed. Remember, the Catholic Church was teaching the Crusaders that you receive salvation, you receive redemption when you serve as a Crusader. It is an honor. And if you die, you make it to paradise, or they make it to heaven.
Yeah.
Why do you have to go kill a Muslim far away if you just kill these heresies? Followers and the new believers in France for northern France. You see what happened?
Yeah.
Is another crusade. We left. When we talk about crusade in America, all what people think, it is Christian killing innocent women and innocent children who are Muslims. Not killing Christians, not killing heresies within Europe. No. And all this is a bag of cocktail or the bag of salad of Crusades.
Crazy time. For all of its violence and destruction, the Albigensian Crusade failed to remove the Cathar heresy. It did, however, provide a solid framework of new scholar lords willing to, of new secular lords willing to work with the church against the heretics.
So the world is in the church. The secular world lords are in the church to help the church to fight the heresy of the Albigensians. It must be a wonderful crusade, Brother Paul. It must be successful. It must help the Christian of Europe to fight the Muslim invaders who already destroyed 55 or 50 whatever country in the world. Many of them were Christians, and now they're taking over Europe from the east and from the west. The children crusade. I remember when Professor Scott talked about the children crusade in our seminary class. I couldn't help. I said, excuse me, what? He said, children crusade. I said, you mean like they were killing the children? He said, no, the crusaders were children. I said, imagine with me. We're going to get kids, teenagers. Let's go fight the Muslims. Does this make any sense to you, Brother Paul?
Everything about this is factual, and nothing about it makes any sense.
But why we're not teaching our children in our public schools about the true history of crusades, instead of we praise Allah and Muhammad as we start the study about the crusades by saying that the Muslim jihadi are like the crusaders who are just fighting for liberty, fighting for freedom. They are destroying Christianity by claiming that Christianity is like jihadis, crusaders.
To point this out, the children's crusade is not a myth. It is real. It's documented. It is documented in many places. My own research has found it to be solid and factual.
100%.
I'm a retired social studies teacher. I taught it in high school when I taught this, and my kids would just sit there because I'd read it right from the reports. I read the actual documents for my students. They
couldn't believe it.
They would just sit there horrified that something like this was actually occurred. Repeated failure of the organized crusades to reclaim
from first crusade down is all lost. I don't care what name you're going to put on there. It's a comedy. It's a joke. It's an embarrassment. So we don't have men to fight. We have children to fight. They're going to fight who? They're going to fight the strong, powerful Muslim militant who believe that death is better than us like in life. What is the chance for these children to win a crusade? Go ahead, Brother Paul. Read one,
please. The repeated failure of the organized crusades to reclaim Jerusalem and the true cross frustrated all Christians. This combination of frustration and strong religious enthusiasm led to frequent and sometimes bizarre manifestations of popular piety. Piety is another word that means faith, such as the so-called children's crusade in 1212.
We got the date for it. We're not making it up. Go ahead, bro.
The Children's Crusade was neither a true crusade nor made up of an army of children. The Pope did not call for it. Indeed, no one did. And again, this is from a textbook.
Sure.
It was an unsanctioned popular movement. No, this isn't a textbook. This is from the encyclopedia, right?
Yes, Encyclopedia Britannica.
Yeah. I'll tell you. I wouldn't trust this book as far as I could throw it. Instead, it was an unsanctioned, unsanctioned popular movement. Getting in things are hard to trace. Well, that is a lie from the pit of hell.
It can be hard to trace.
It doesn't mean it's untraceable. But anyway, go ahead.
In early of 1212, a young man named Nicholas from Cologne, became the center of the Children's Crusade that swept through the Rhineland. He claimed he received divine instruction and set out to rescue Jerusalem from the Muslims. Nicholas believed when he reached the Mediterranean, God would dry up the waters so that he could walk across to Palestine.
Did you read that? I mean, is that according to your research, Paul? It's similar?
Yes.
Okay.
It's very, very close. The concept of walking across the water, I don't remember reading that part, but the fact that that he mentioned walking to a place called Palestine.
Yeah. Well, when I studied the children, it was almost like what you're reading right now. Go ahead.
Yeah. Hundreds and then thousands of children, adolescents, women, the elderly, the poor, parish clergy, an occasional thief joined him in his march south. Some of the people hailed the crusaders as heroes. These were gatherings. Joined him in his march south. In every town, the people hailed the crusaders as heroes, although the educated clergy called them deranged or deceived. In July of 1212, many gave up and returned home. However, Nicholas's followers continued and crossed the Alps in the city. So my comment is here, most of these were orphans.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Founded during the Third Crusade, the Teutonic Knights.
That's the seventh one. This is not, by the way, many of these, if I remember from my class, many of the children were taken by the ships, not to Jerusalem. They were taken to Libya, the country of Libya, and many of the children were sold as slaves for the Muslims of Libya.
That's what I got to. I started looking at, when I got to the point where they got to the shoreline.
They got lost.
All of those children were either...
They took them to Libya.
Yeah. All of those children had, there was only two... all of the documents I found on this said this horrible thing.
Yeah.
The children were put into boats, then they were sold as slaves or killed.
I know this for a fact from my history class in seminary. Okay. So go ahead, Christy. Let's get to this next one here.
The Teutonic Knights and Baltic Crusades. Founded during the Third Crusade, the Teutonic Knights were a German military order modeled on the Hospitallers. By the 13th century, the order had begun to shift its focus from the Holy Land to Europe. From 1211 to 1225, it waged war against pagans in Transylvania and effectively Christianized the region, but it was subsequently expelled by the King of Hungary. As the rulers, the Teutonic Knights played an important part in European history for many centuries.
So what was this crusade about? Is it about fighting Muslims? Is about killing Muslim women and Muslim children, innocent ones, or is about killing the pagans in Europe?
Yeah.
And forcing people to become Christian. I mean, where can we find any biblical for this? Any biblical support?
No.
Can you find me any verse in the Bible somewhere Jesus or Paul or Peter or somebody said, by the edge of the sword, convert the pagans to become a Christian?
If anything, Jesus asked us to put down swords. In fact, he gave the great example when Peter cut off an ear of somebody who went after Jesus.
The servant, of the high priest. Yeah.
Yeah. Jesus had Peter put the sword down and then healed the man's ear when taken captive.
Well, but if as Christians, Jesus taught us as Christians, we go to the end of the world and share the gospel. And when people reject us, what should we do? Should we shake the sword or shake the dust out of our feet?
You shake the dust off your feet. Move
so why these wonderful crusaders were killing people, pagans, in Europe to force them to become a Christian?
Well, they weren't doing it according to the Bible or according to the Holy
Spirit. My answer to that is these are people who did not know what the scripture said and simply were doing what they were told because they weren't allowed to read the Bible. The Bible was forbidden.
Sure.
That's right.
They weren't allowed to read it in their own language. They were denied that, so they didn't know the truth.
Exactly. I want to quote you a verse from the Bible, but give me a minute here. But we can go ahead and read it a little bit more, and I'm going to give you the next verse where Jesus said, literally, when we are rejected, when the lesser price is met with rejection, we literally walk out of the city and shake the dust out of our feet. I'm going to give you the verse in a minute here, but let's move on to the next slide here. Go ahead, Brother Paul.
All right. Pope Innocent III in embarked on another crusade, calling the warriors of Christendom to fight for the restoration of Western rule in the Holy Land by 1213. Learning from failures of previous crusades, he determined a new effort to be controlled completely by the church. The first contingent of the Fifth Crusade, led by King Andrew of Hungary, reached Acre in the fall of 1217. Andrew accomplished little and departed in January 1218.
Help me, Lord. Help me. So now the church will be in full control. Now, where in the world we can say that's a Christian church? Once again, what did Jesus taught us in the Bible?
To love.
And carry the sword and the spear and fight for the sake of Jesus? Help in Jesus Christ? Help in God Almighty? We became like a Muslim?
No, not at all. Opposite. We're not supposed to do any of that.
I mean, we take control completely by the church, not the Lord, the atheist Lord, or some pagan of the church. Then the church should know the scripture. Then the church should know what Jesus taught us in the Bible. Then the church should live. Maybe, as I said in our previous couple of programs ago, I believe, if we spend 10% of the effort and the money which we spend in the crusades to share the gospel with the Muslims, maybe we would have ended the existence of Islam in the Muslim world a good
Let me just say this. There was at this time period, there was something called the Index of Forbidden Books.
Yeah.
And if you were to dare to read the Bible in your language,
that was
you would be executed.
That would bring up, that's exactly what Martin Luther did when he translated the Bible to the Latin so the people can read it and understand what's written there. So, from Latin to German.
Well, you know, it's important to see what it says here because it says controlled completely by the church. I think this is a warning for people to realize the church isn't always listening to the Lord. And just because you have authorities and ministers who are telling you things, you need to know for yourself, and we have the privilege to be able to read the scripture, to be able to read the Bible and know it for ourselves, and that is a privilege, and we need to be hanging on to that.
There is no place in the world today, how I look at it, there's really no place in the world today that you, if you have access to a phone or the internet, or there's no place you can go where you couldn't have access to the Bible. It's available there for free.
That's a sign or a mark or a prophecy in the scripture concerning the second coming of Christ. That the whole world will hear the gospel. The whole world will hear the truth. That is that signature of the hand of God concerning prophecies before the second coming of Christ.
Well, I'll say this. The kids in the inner cities, at least the one I taught in, the last 2 years I taught, I had students who had never heard of the name of Jesus, and I had them in their 9th and 10th grade years.
That's it. In America?
Yes.
While the rest of the world, this has nothing to do with that the Bible is not available. The truth is available, the Bible is available, the church is available, but people choose not to listen to you. Like, did people know from Noah that the flood is coming? Did Noah have enough time to share with the people about the flood? No, we're talking about 120 years. How many people accepted and believed in Noah and his made-up story about the flood is coming and the rain is coming? Not anybody. Only his three sons, three daughters, and Noah and his wife. 8 people were saved in the flood.
Right.
Let's move on.
Okay. Yeah. Frisian, German, and Italian crusaders arrived in April and joined the remaining forces. In May, this army set out for Egypt, led by John of Brienne, the titular king of Jerusalem from 1210. The strategy was to capture Egypt in order to break Muslim power in the region before turning to Jerusalem. The Fifth Crusade failed largely because of divided leadership and unwise decision of Pelagius.
You remember now, in the Third Crusade, the Egyptians were able, because yes, when we say Egypt now, we're talking about the Muslim country of Egypt. Egypt was controlled completely by the Muslims. They were given all the aids for the Muslims in Jerusalem That's why second circumcision would be not succeed. So they found these French and the German and the Italian, all these wonderful crusaders came together in the first crusade. Said, let's take over Egypt. So we cut that as a line of support, the line of aid to Jerusalem, saying we can take over Jerusalem. Because they are getting smarter. But guess what? They were smart, stupid, smart, divided leaders. So even militarily, the church now, it's all the church, by the way. It's controlled by the church. They're doing a great job. Wonderfully, huh? Divided leader from the church to free Jerusalem, to take over Jerusalem and become a place where Christian can go and do their visit to the Holy Spirit safely. That is to fulfill what they were supposed to accomplish in the first crusade, which was never accomplished after this first crusade, besides the children crusade and the two crusades were offered.
Yeah, they have, just so people think about this, the Crusades have been studied by military commanders, military leaders, and military colleges for hundreds of years as failures, and they look at these things, divided leadership, unwise decisions, to find out how not to do that.
I'm not a military guy. I'm not a smart guy. I'm a Christian young man with simple mind, knows the scripture, knows the word of God. The crusade itself is a failure because they're fighting the evil Islam with a sword and spear. And like in the previous 20 years, under Bush and Obama and Biden ended so beautifully, we're fighting the Muslims also using airplane and bombs and tanks. You cannot do that. It is a miserable failure. If they would have asked me, before the first crusade, I would tell them, save your money, save your life, you're wasting everything, it is over. You waited 474 years to take over this holy site, kiss it goodbye. The people left, they didn't even understand the language of yours, what you're going to take and say. They're Arabs, they're Muslims, they're Allahu Akbar. Turkey is now a Muslim country, speaking Arabic. Spanish people speak in Arabic. The south, so the west and the east of Europe are Arabs. Hundreds of years. Generation, second generation, third generation, kiss and goodbye. The Turks did not speak, actually. The emperor of the Spanish, lots of words in Spanish are Arabic. Believe it or not, lots of words. So the emperor is so badly that you don't have the people who you're fighting for. What are you fighting? A holy site? I said before and I repeat again, there is no holy site. There's not any place you can visit and receive the redemption or forgiveness of your sins. If you go on and live and die in the building of the Church of the Resurrection in Israel, it will not save you. We're supposed to save the city from the enemy of the Muslims. If there were still Christians in Egypt and they were crying out to the people of Europe, the Christian of Europe, for the first 100 years, we actually stopped crying after the first 100 years. After 100 years in Egypt, 4 million Christian men were killed. The wife and the daughter were raped by the Muslim men and produced Muslim babies. It is over for Egypt. Egyptians were crying out for the Christians, come and help us in the first few years, 50, 60. And then we stopped crying out because it's too late. Who's crying? The Muslim baby born from a Muslim man who raped the Christian lady? It's too late. So the idea to free Jerusalem, what are you going to free? The empty building? What are you going to do with this building? There's no healing in it. There's no power in it. There's no forgiveness or righteousness or redemption you get in it. It's a joke. God does not sit in a building. We are the body of Christ. The Christians are the body of Christ, and the Holy Spirit dwells in them. But guess what? These Christian men were killed, and the wife was raped by the Muslim men as they produced the Muslim babies. How are you going to fix that? My excitement is within the first crusade with my flesh. I want the Crusaders to win. I want them to kill the Muslims. But which Muslim are you going to kill? You're going to kill the rest of Egyptian? God help us. God help us. Let's go to the Crusade of Frederick II. Go ahead, Christy.
Frederick II, whose intellectual interests included Islam, had a different attitude than the typical Western Crusader. His Crusade fleet left Italy in the late summer of 1227. Frederick was delayed by illness. In Acre, Frederick met more opposition and was excommunicated due to the conflicts with the church. As a result, many refused to support him. However, he was able to secure the Treaty of 1229, which is unique in the history of the Crusades.
He made a treaty. He made a treaty with who? Let's keep on.
With little military conflict, Jerusalem, Bethlehem returned to Jerusalem's king by diplomacy. Muslims retained control of the Dome of the Rock and the Al-Aqsa Mosque. Muslim residents kept their homes and property, had their own city officials, justice system, and freedom to practice their religion. Peace lasted for 10 years, but the benefits of the 1229 treaty were short-lived. Jerusalem fell into disorder, and the treaty was denounced by the devout Christians and Muslims.
Don't you love number 10, Christy, 10 years?
Yeah.
When Muhammad was about to be taken over by the infidels of Mecca, because they're going to fight him and kill him and kill the last Muslims, he made a peaceful treaty, which is 10 years.
Yeah.
Obviously, they did not enjoy the 10 years because, believe it or not, Muhammad became powerful. He had 10,000 Muslim followers, army bigger, went down to Jerusalem, went down to Mecca and took it over by the edge of the sword, and that he kissed that treaty, peaceful treaty, goodbye.
Yeah.
You cannot make a peaceful treaty with Muslims. Let me say that again, Chris. You didn't hear me. You cannot make a peaceful treaty with Muslims because Muslims understand Islam very well and we are so ignorant of Islam. Allah Quran 47 verse 35 says, do not be weak, calling for peace when he has the upper hand. Did the Muslim have the upper hand with Mr. Frederick II? No. Why this sign of peace? It is a 10-year peace, Christy.
They love that 10-year peace, don't they?
Yasser Arafat did the same thing when he signed the peace treaty. He says, he told everybody in Arabic, in English, he told, we have a peace treaty. In Arabic, he told everybody, this is until we become strong so we can
exactly
them off.
What did Obama did with Iran?
He did the same thing with Iran just a few years ago. Yep.
He made a peaceful treaty with the Iranian. He gave them $152 billion. He said, you will not make nuclear bombs. You will stop making your nuclear bombs for 10 years. What a stupid president. He could give me a call and I could help him and tell him exactly what's wrong with the treaty. It's a 10 year. Muslims make peaceful treaty limited with time. 10 years. They may lie and say, well, we will make a peace with you for the next 1,000 years, okay? Guess what's going to happen? The early possible date when Muslim has the upper hand, you can kiss that peaceful treaty goodbye. And guess what happens? They control the Dome of the Rock. They control the mosque, the Aqsa Mosque. They control their home. The whole city is led by the Muslims. You got a few Christians, lots of Muslims. And guess what's happening today in the same city of Jerusalem? This the Muslim controls the Dome of the Rock, the Muslim controls the Aqsa Mosque, the Muslim controls all these homes which are Jewish Muslims. They're Israeli because they have the citizenship, but in reality they're Muslims. Like American Muslims or Muslim Americans. It's an oxymoron fight. How in the world Israel allows these Muslims today to have an Israeli citizenship? Oh. Because it's going to be very peaceful in the next few years between the Muslim Israeli and the Jewish Israeli. It's going to be so peaceful beyond your imagination, Brother Paul. So how much success from the crusade of Mr. Frederick II? It fell. Why? Because you don't make treaty with Muslims. That's a comedy. That's like a joke. Bit of St. Louis. Go ahead, Chris. Give your turn.
In June 1245, a year after the final loss of Jerusalem, urgent appeals for help had come from the East. Still, it is unlikely that the crusade was of concern to Pope Innocent IV, for many crises confronted the church. Complaints of clergy abuses, troubles with Frederick II in Italy, and the advance of the Mongols into Eastern Europe. Nonetheless, when King Louis IX of France announced his intention to lead the new crusade, the Pope gave it his support.
By the way, you know the Mongolians here? They were Muslims.
They were Muslims, right? Yeah.
And they know nothing about Islam. They just learned from the Muslims how you fight, and they took over some Muslim country and said, we're Muslim, we're going to fight for our. And they took over, they went in war and war with you than everywhere they went. They were more savage than the Muslims.
Yeah, I'm glad you brought that up because
some people don't realize that. It's history. How can we deny it? And what we have clergy abused? Understand that the church was not a church at all, Brother Paul. I mean, are you following me here? When you have ministers in America abusing little children, little boys in the Catholic Church, that's a church?
No.
Are you out of your mind?
When a church denies you the right to, any church says, don't, you can't read the Word of God in your own language, or denies you the ability to read and learn the Word of God, that's not a church, that's a bit of hell, I'm sorry.
we're getting here in the midst of the dark age, the dark 400 years of the Catholic Church of Europe. Slowly we get away from the Bible, slowly we got divided church, slowly we got abused clergy, slowly we got wickedness and evil, all these sickness which came into the church, and nobody really have a clue. They don't know the right hand from the left hand. The lost sheep without shepherd, because shepherds were busy abusing women and children. The final laws of the crusade states.
By the end of the 13th century, crusading had become more expensive. Formerly, a crusade army was made up of knights who served under a lord and paid their own way. Economic pressures caused many nobles to seek royal service. Royal armies, therefore, became more professional, and many knights as well as foot soldiers served for pay. Moreover, the rise of royal authority meant that great crusades could no longer be cobbled together by feudal lords, but were increasingly reliant on kings who were by their nature easily distracted by events at home.
So we start the crusades with Christian, with the help of the rulers of the country, politician, and then we make it church completely, but the church lost its mind and lost its labor, and now we need professional armies, wonderful knights, and they get paid. At least in the beginning, they were lying to them. Say, you go die for Jesus, then you're going to get saved. You're going to be redeemed, and you're going to get to paradise. Okay? Now, they're getting paid for doing the job. And what job they're doing here have nothing to do with anything about what the mission was started to be. Why? Because they waited so long. When the cancer spread in the body of the patient, the doctor could do nothing about it. Now it is cancer inside the church in Europe. Cancer, Islam is taking over. The mangroves are destroying many places right and left. It's a chaos. That's exactly how I see how the war will end. It's going to be chaos, wars, and rumors of wars. I believe Muslims will play a big role in the end of time. That's my belief. Maybe I'm wrong, but that's my belief. Go ahead, brother.
Europe was dismayed by the fall of Tripoli and subsequent siege of Acre, the last crusader stronghold in 1291. Pope Nicholas IV had tried to organize aid beforehand without success. France, the main supporter of the crusades, was in serious conflict with England. This led to the outbreak of the Thousand Years' War in 100 Years' War, 1337. The continued decline of papal authority and rise of royal power meant that most of Europe's warriors were busy at home. The best that the church could do was to organize smaller crusade expeditions with very limited goals.
What a sad story. Started wrong and ended wrong, and there was no success. Why? Once again, because you cannot fight a spiritual war by physical weapon. We never learned from the crusade that why America spent these trillions of dollars and ended leaving Afghanistan with more powerful Taliban military with our weapon. And believe it or not, nobody's talking about it. In the last few months, America continued to pay the billions of dollars to the Taliban of Afghanistan. And we'll continue to do that as long as there is America, until we go fall on our face, broke in this country. We're supporting Muslims in America, and the Europeans supporting Muslims in the Muslim world beyond your imagination. Guys, you have no clue. You literally have no clue the amount of money the Christians of Europe and the Christians of America, and these are the descendants of the Crusaders, are giving to the Muslims. We're doing that. As a matter of fact, a good 200 some years ago, when Thomas Jefferson found out that the Muslims were attacking our ships, stealing, killing our men and taking them as slaves and raping our women, he went to war. You remember?
The Marines.
Yeah, our Marines to the shore of Tripoli. Well, guess what happened? 200 years ago, he fought for 5 years, Thomas Jefferson. And how did he end? He destroys this country, but he found out, wait a minute, that's a huge box of war. I don't have army. I don't have power. I don't have money. So money. War costs money. To fight all these Muslims, so what he did? Okay, we want, we'll give you money, and we continue to give the Muslims the jizya, not just in these four countries of Morocco, Algeria, and Tunisia, and Libya. No, we're giving money to the Egyptian, and the Sudani, and the Syrian, and the Iraqi, and the Afghani, and the And we're giving money to all the Muslims of the world. American people who are in debt, $33 trillion, soon it's going to be $40 trillion within the next 2 years. They have no clue the huge amount of billions of dollars we're giving to the Muslim world as a foreign aid. Because I have no clue.
If you want to see this today, I suggest you type in USAspending.gov. Type in the word Islamic. It will, the amount of expenses that go out of this country to Islamic sources is phenomenal and beyond
billions. And the funny thing is, we're giving this money to Muslim countries who hate our guts. Those who shout death to America every day they stand up before Allah and pray. Continue, brother. Continue. Go ahead.
The rapid expansion of the Turks into Christian Europe changed the nature of the Eastern Crusades, no longer aimed at conquering faraway Palestine. They became desperate attempts to defend Europe itself.
Do you think Europeans today can defend themselves? Wait when the Muslims launch their final jihad in Europe. I believe that the Muslims in Europe are not fighting the European yet, because the American Muslims are begging the Muslims in Europe and saying, wait, please wait, give us time to take over America. When America is destroyed by the help of the Democrats and we will be in power over this country, then you can go ahead, wipe out the last infant cross worshiper of Europe. That's exactly what it is. There's not too many Christians in Europe to start with, and those who claim to be Christians are a bunch of pagans, and they will be wiped out by the Muslims, or they will convert to Islam. I guarantee you.
One of the greatest efforts to repulse the Turkish advance was the Crusade of Nicopolis, prompted by a plea from King Sigismund of Hungary in 1395. The Crusade was joined by powerful Burgundian and German armies, who rendezvoused at Buda the following year.
Well,
although it was one of the largest crusading forces ever assembled, it was crushed utterly by the army of Sultan Bayezid I. Hungary was left virtually defenseless, and the smashing defeat of the Crusade of Nicopolis led many to fear that all of Europe would soon succumb to the Muslim advance. Only in crusades meet with regular success. The unification of Aragon and Castile under Ferdinand and Isabella in 1479 gave Christian knights the opportunity to take up the cross against the remaining Muslims in Iberia. The campaigns continued throughout the 1480s and led to the surrender of Granada, the last Muslim stronghold, on January 12, 1492. Nearly 800 years after the first effort to expel the Muslims, the Reconquista was completed and Christians across Europe rang church bells and marched in procession of thanksgiving.
And it's amazing how Muslims in America today are teaching our children that Muslims and Christians worship with liberty and freedom. They love each other in Spain for hundreds of years. Are you out of your mind? If they were much happy and love and holding hands and kissing on the cheeks one another, why the people of Spain fought and all the people fought to get into them after 800 years?
Okay, you saw this next slide. I want to share something from the slide you just had before, but let's see this one first.
No, go ahead.
No, I think it's very interesting to notice that the Muslims were expelled from Spain under Ferdinand and Isabella. Okay? They were king and queen at the time that they got rid of the Muslims finally out of Spain in 1492, January 1492. Columbus was funded. Is it the next slide? No, you didn't get into it. Okay, I think this is important for Americans to understand. So they funded Christopher Columbus that same year, 1492. And that's
how we discovered the first America.
Every social studies teacher is required to teach about the Reconquista. They're required. When you get to, at this, again, this is usually in New York State, your ninth grade teacher, and this is extremely important because it defines what Spain is today. And to think that they celebrate by ringing church bells. There's no reason they, you celebrate after being in basically in prison.
But
liberty was 800 years.
But I also want to point out that had they not been able to do that, and I think this has motivated the lies that Muslims tell, that all of Europe should be theirs and that America also should be theirs, because if they had not been run out of Spain, they would have had the discovery and the claims on America.
If Spain was controlled by the Muslims at the same time and they are the one who discovered America, we will not have found that great country of the United States of America in the last 300 years.
There's a statement, and I don't know if you included it, in the Encyclopedia Britannica, and I never have forgotten it, even though I don't know if it's in this presentation.
We're almost to the end here, guys. Let's see if it's there, Christy, if you don't mind. Go ahead.
Crusading came to an end in the 16th century, mainly because of the changes in Europe brought on by the Protestant Reformation, and not because the Muslim threat had diminished. Martin Luther and other Protestants had no use for crusades, which they believed were cynical ploys by the papacy to grab power from secular lords. Protestants also rejected the doctrine of indulgence, central to the idea of the crusade. There can be little doubt that the crusades slowed the advance of Islamic power, although how much is open to question. At the very least, they bought Europe some much-needed time. Without centuries of the crusading effort, it is difficult to see how Western Europe could have escaped the conquest by Muslim armies, which had already captured the rest of the Mediterranean world.
And believe it or not, I believe today, Muslims are conquering Europe. Easily.
Again,
But
the statement that is in the Encyclopedia Britannica, the time we did this, was that had the Muslims not been expelled it's a statement, again, remember, a secular book. This is a history of the Crusades. According to Encyclopedia Britannica, it said, then the United States of America would definitely have been a Muslim country.
Sure. Well, our time is up. I'm sorry, Paul. I'm sorry, Christy. We're going to end with our powerful, powerful invitation. I hope and I pray if you guys have enjoyed our study for the Crusades. Join us again next week, Lord willing, as we're going to be talking about slavery, lies about slavery in Islam. We're not going to close our program with the end of this invitation, but we'll leave the room open for question and answer or any comment or something else you're going to share. God bless you all. Those on the radio, we appreciate you for listening to us tonight.
Yes.
I look forward to seeing you Saturday, but here is the closing for the radio broadcast.
God bless you. Thank you.
Perhaps the greatest fear that Muslims have is the constant insecurity that the Quran declares about heaven and hell. According to Islam, no one can know for sure if they will spend eternity with the Lord in heaven or suffering apart from him in hell. Even Muhammad said that he did not know if even he would make it to paradise. Did you know that the Bible says that you can know 100% for sure that your soul will be with the Lord after death? God knows that it would be impossible to live a life of joy and peace if a person was always in doubt about their soul. God wants you to be sure. In fact, Jesus had to come to this earth and die on the cross so that you could know that you had eternal life. You see, our problem is sin, which is rebellion against the God who created us and loves us. God is perfect and holy, and he cannot allow sin into his heaven. We must have our sins forgiven and removed, and that's why Jesus suffered and died on the cross, to pay the penalty for your sins and for mine. Because of what Jesus did on the cross, God can forgive you. He can save you, no matter who you are or what you have done. God has done everything necessary to save your soul, but now the decision is up to you. Will you turn away from your sin and rebellion and trust Jesus as your Lord and Savior? Good works, church attendance, and baptism cannot get your soul to heaven, but Jesus can. The Bible says, whoever calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Why don't you call out to the Lord right now? Perhaps saying something like this. Dear God, I know that I'm a sinner and that I do deserve to be punished, but I believe that you sent Jesus to die for me, to pay the price for my sins. Right now, I turn away from my sin and I invite you to come and be my Lord and my Savior. Thank you for saving me. In Jesus' name, amen. Have you accepted the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior? Or perhaps you have further questions about Islam or Christianity? Why not take a moment right now and visit us online at www.thestraightway.org. That's www.thestraightway.org. May God bless you richly until we meet again right here on Revealing the Truth About Islam. Join us each Saturday at 10 p.m. Eastern Time for another episode of Revealing the Truth About Islam.